Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin. Theodore, breathe in, breathe out, me and more, breathe in, breathe out, never mind, it was time, number nine, let my lies, feline, with a death wish, be right, didn't have, no name on a guest list, hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. We've got an ethical question we're going to have to ponder. It involves one Sean Mapes. We'll get to that. And it also involves this station because we do carry Aggie basketball. The rivalry is renewed today, Aggies versus Horns. The Aggies solidified in the tournament. Now this is about seeding, what they can do if they can go on a run in the tournament. The Horns in a different category. They need to put together wins to, right? They need, how many wins, Sean, do they need?
At least today.
They won yesterday.
Yes, they won yesterday, and I got a very sad and pathetic push notification from ESPN Bracketology that said, Bubble Watch, Texas, Longhorns NCAA tourney chances rise from 29 to 41% with win over Vanderbilt.
So you are one good win over the Aggies away from probably jumping into plus territory as far as being over 50% if you can beat the Aggies, right?
Yes.
So this brings up an ethical question for Sean. Sean, noted Horn fan, not a giant fan of Rodney Terry, not because he dislikes a man, but because
I'm a results guy.
He's watching his teams struggle, and he's getting notifications about their chances to make the tournament from 29 over 40. So you can understand why he might not be thrilled with his current head coach. A win by the Horns ends the Aggies tournament run. It also ends the chances for Sean to have some time off because the Aggies will preempt programming today. That the pregame show starts at 2. Game starts at 3 or 2:30, and then however long the game takes postgame, whatever. So you might get an hour of the Killer Bees.
No Killer Bees today.
Okay.
National.
I was looking at the log. Maybe we need to change that. But no Killer Bees today. But we know that the Paul Gallant show will be preempted at 2.
Yes. So,
but if the Aggies win today, that means they're beating Sean's team, the Horns, but it also means less work for Sean tomorrow.
Yes.
Correct?
So more than likely. I guess there's a chance that the late game. But
yes, but it's possible that Sean will get off of work earlier than he normally does. And that's a big thing. The man's got things to do.
An hour off on a Friday.
Who doesn't like that? Get your weekend started.
Who wouldn't right now sign up to be out at 2 on a Friday?
Me, because I'm out at 12:30 on a Friday.
Well,
all the time.
Okay.
So I'm one of those guys who would not sign up for that. So you can have your Horns solidify their chances of making the tournament, not guaranteeing them. They might.
Yes.
Another win would probably guarantee that if they win today and tomorrow, or you could have an hour off of work and start your weekend early. You also might have to deal with Rodney Terry for another year, which mm-hmm. is something that doesn't seem very enjoyable for you. It doesn't seem like you want to deal
with
that again.
That.
No. So these are things. Are you going to root against your team and not just root against them? Root against them against what I assume is still what you consider their biggest rival, or maybe you think that's someone else now?
In basketball, it's like, who cares?
Who cares? It's basketball. But still, do you want to see Aggies with joyous faces after beating the Horns?
No.
No, you don't, no matter what the deal is. So, where do you stand? Are you going to root against not only the Aggies, who are, you know, our club here on the station? Are you going to root against them, or are you going to root against the Horns, who is the place you went to school, the place you the program you love, because it gives you an extra hour off? Also, it means no more Rodney Terry, which isn't a guarantee, by the way, but you would assume
it helps
if he doesn't make the turn, he's out.
The ESPN notification didn't include the odds of firing their coach.
Okay, that seems maybe a little grim. They don't want to put that on the notification, or maybe just not enough room. I don't know.
ESPN BPI doesn't have the projection.
They should do that. Just have them side by side. Chances to make the tournament, chances Rodney Terry gets fired. So where are we? You've had time to think about it. I did the prelude. You also brought this to my attention yourself, so you have thought about it before the show started. Are you going to root against Texas because it means just an hour extra off of a job that isn't that difficult to begin with? Or are you going to root for them because that burnt orange blood is strong? Have you come to a decision?
I haven't come to a firm decision
yet. Where are you leaning then?
It's just that the upsides of Texas winning are very small. that's the thing, is that the benefits from the win is they might make the tournament. They have a better chance of making the tournament and probably still not making the Sweet 16. Like that's just
so not even...
I'm just signing up for one more SEC tournament game and one or two more NCAA tournament games of a team I don't really like watching.
Okay, so not even a win in, I don't know, a 7-10 matchup, you being the 10, would be enjoyable.
No.
Okay.
Not really, because then they have to play a 2 and then they'll lose.
Well, you can think about that day in between where you can delude yourself into thinking you've got a shot. Isn't that fun?
It's not an SEC team.
Isn't that fun?
Bring on St. John's.
And you guys were great against non-SEC teams. Well, the conference was.
Yeah.
So even that day between where the delusion starts to pick up, you know, if things go our way, we shoot the ball well, force some turnovers, we might win. None of that. Okay.
No.
Okay. So okay. So you don't think there is any miracle NC State type run in them? And by the way, if Texas is smart, you let the run happen, don't give them an extension, and fire Rodney Terry like NC State did to what? Keats, is that his name?
Yeah, Kevin Keats.
Kevin Keats went on a run, got to the Final Four, had a bad year this year and fired him. So it's not like you don't have to, it's not like you have to give him an extension just because he goes on a miracle run. You could pull NC State. So don't
But that's just wasting another year of my life.
Okay, sure.
that is what
I
mean, it's
I wouldn't allow the Texas basketball program to waste a year of your life, even if they do stick with Rodney Terry. I mean, there are other things you can find joy in.
They've already wasted like two of them.
Okay, so it feels like you're leaning towards, let's get this out of the way. Let's lose, and hopefully it results in certainly you get an hour off. And
it's also I'm just prepared. I'm prepared to lose. That's the thing. So it's not even like a heartbreak. That's the real crux. Is how much should I? I mean, I'm not buying in. I'm never gonna buy into
this team and that coach.
Oh, man, the ESPN little pie chart, the matchup predictor. Don't do this. Don't do this.
Texas has a better shot than you think?
A&M 61% chance to win. Texas 38.
So you're a live dog, according to that matchup predictor.
Yeah, 6.5-point underdog.
I don't know about everyone else, but I have a lot of experience trying to not root against my team, but understanding losses would be better off because it means the coach is going to get fired. Maybe a lot of us feel that throughout their fandom, and you know what it feels like. Hey, I really don't want the players to lose, but it's better off if we do.
It's better for the program to leave no doubt and fire this man.
So I understand it. Trust me. I know a Shannon and a Golden and a Manny Diaz as well. So I get it. But this is I wouldn't ever root against them against Florida State.
In basketball?
No. Well, they never beat Florida State in basketball anyway, so it doesn't matter what I root for. Even when they were good, they didn't beat Florida State. But
it's just basketball. Texas basketball doesn't move my needle. So I just don't.
I don't like my needle, but sure.
Well, it doesn't move the needle for me.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you for cleaning that up. I get it. There are some sports that are less important to everyone. I get it. Like like Miami's golf doesn't move the needle for me. If they lose, okay, so be it.
That's because Texas men's golf wins a national championship.
Yeah, you know all about winning there. So there we are. That's really all just a promo for listening to us lead you into Texas basketball at 2:30. Actually, at 2 o'clock, the pregame show starts. Texas, it's not Texas basketball, by the way. It's A&M basketball featuring Texas starting at 2.
Yeah,
and then the game begins.
We would have been showing this game if Vanderbilt was in it.
Yeah, yes, exactly, because we are the station for A&M football, basketball, and baseball.
Yeah.
We're all A&M all the time, so you can listen to that game at 2:30 here. But the pregame, as I said, begins at 2. Paul Gallant will take you to that, and certainly we'll get you to Paul Gallant. There was other basketball to focus on, if you so chose. I did. It was Rockets and Suns. It was another one of those games where it wasn't that entertaining. I never felt like the Rockets were at risk. Jalen Green had a great night. Got to the free throw line, which is not something he does at that clip. Double-digit free throws for Jalen Green and a win over the Suns and the Rockets, who seem to be somehow connected, but not really because of every time Booker or Durant is mentioned, the Rockets are mentioned. And, of course, their real connection is the Rockets owning Suns picks. So it's an easy thing for people to talk about. Get those picks back for the Suns and trade the likes of Booker or Durant. What's he doing in there? No, why is he in there?
I'm just listening, Dad. I just want to enjoy your show in person.
Okay. I appreciate the support. Thank you. So, Rockets now playing better against bad basketball teams. You'll take it. You know what? I don't take anything from those performances other than thank goodness you're beating these teams. And with relative ease. Like, the Suns were always somewhere between 7 and 10 points for the most part in the second half, and the Rockets kept them there. They limited Kevin Durant's shots, which is always good. I don't get the Suns at all. I know they're poorly constructed, but you would think there's enough talent there to be not a real contender, but deep into the play-in and maybe battling for a sixth seed, they are out of the play-in. I believe there are 6 games under 500. I was listening to the Suns broadcast or watching it again, and they were talking about their team, and Bradley Beal was playing pretty well, and they mentioned that the Suns are 10-10 without him because they're talking about his absences. So the Suns now are 6 games under 500 when Bradley Beal plays. Now, I don't know what the record is when all 3 of the guys that they're paying a lot of money to play, Beal, Durant, and Booker, they didn't give me that stat, but it was interesting that they're a better team when he doesn't step foot on the floor.
They're pulling out the knives on Bradley Beal.
I don't think that's what they meant.
No, that's what they're doing.
But that's how it came across to me. And as I said, there is context. How many games of those where Bradley Beal is absent are Durant and Booker playing? And how many games when Bradley Beal is on the floor are Booker and Durant? Maybe one of them is gone. Maybe both of them are gone. So it isn't exactly fair to Bradley Beal without getting more into the weeds on the numbers. But they're not good when he plays. We know that much. And they weren't good last night. We also have to talk about the Plumlee-Adams dust-up, mostly because there is a history there. There's a clip that was floating around yesterday where it says, Stephen Adams, remember that time Stephen Adams saved Plumlee's life because Stephen Adams had the ball in the low post. I think Plumlee went for a pump fake. He jumps, and he nearly crashed to the ground, but Stephen Adams kind of braces his fall because Stephen Adams just stayed on the floor. So it was just a foul. Plumlee did not get injured, and people were referencing that clip. There's also a clip of them where they're battling for a rebound. Plumlee shoves Stephen Adams to the ground, and once the whistle's blown and Plumlee has the ball, he kind of rolls the ball right at Stephen Adams. So they've had this back and forth over the course of the last 5 years or so, mostly with Adams in Memphis and Plumlee in different locations, because that's just kind of the life of a vagabond big man. But those two were thrown out. They went to the floor. Plumlee wound up with a little cut. But most importantly, the Rockets win. They win easily. And now I believe that's 4 in a row for them. With the Nuggets getting blasted by the Wolves at home, the Rockets are now 1 game behind the Nuggets and the Grizz for the 2 seed. So it helps to play bad teams. Helps more when you beat them. So Rockets doing okay. Fred VanVleet came back. That was nice. It was a game where I don't know how important he would have been or his absence would have been, but nice to have him back when you are lacking ball handlers because of the injuries to Reed Sheppard and Amen Thompson. So kind of a mundane, regular ass Rockets win as they take apart the Sun. So there it is. Okay. We will go to a break here. If you want to get in on the show, you can 713-780-3776. And we will eventually at some point get a final answer to Sean's rooting interest for today's game between your Aggies, not Sean's Aggies, but the general you, your Aggies, as we are the Aggie Station and the Longhorns today. I do need to let you know that Raheel won't join us today. He is on vacation. He's in some woodlands area enjoying nature for some reason, so he won't join us today. We will have Lou Ferrigno on the show tomorrow. He'll be in studio. He's coming in. The original Hulk for most of you? Well, some of you. I don't know how old everyone is, but maybe some of you love Eric Bana as a Hulk. Maybe some of you are Mark Ruffalo people. Maybe some of you are Edward Norton people.
My Hulk.
Is Eric Bana or Ed Norton?
Ed Norton.
Okay, that's your Hulk. Well, a lot of people's Hulks is Lou Ferrigno. He'll join us. He's in town for a convention. He'll join us on Friday in studio. I got word of that last night as I was recruiting in my dynasty. Saw that email come through. So we will have him on. And Michael Carroll will join us tomorrow as well. So that's kind of what we're going to do today. We also have the quote of free agency, I think, so far from a former Ohio State Buckeye, former Bronco, Baron Browning, stays with the Cardinals. And that's not a big name to care about, except for what he said. I think it's the quote of free agency so far. So I'll get to that. I'm now in a position again where I have to defend Aaron Rodgers. This time, thanks to Adam Schefter. It's not a great place for me. Don't appreciate it. But people are just saying things that I think are really dumb about this particular situation because, God forbid, Aaron Rodgers doesn't pick a team in the first hours of free agency. Now it's a problem. So we'll get to that too. And we'll talk about Spencer Arrigette. He's got a new pitch that he wants to reveal to the world. So a lot to get to here. We're just getting started. We will be back.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
One other thing that popped out to me involving the Rockets game last night as I was watching the Suns broadcast, they gave this number some deep diving. Credit to whoever their researchers are who had this. The Rockets are the only team to have multiple wins while shooting under 40% from the floor and under 80% from the free throw line. This was off the back of what happened against, now I'm forgetting who they beat, 97-84. I remember the score, but not the team.
Orlando Magic.
Orlando, there it is. Why would I remember the score, but not the team? That's odd. But it was 97-84, and the Rockets fit that category where they shot under 80%. They didn't have a good night from the free throw line. And, of course, they shot the ball poorly. And the Magic were worse.
They're like, ha, watch this.
Yeah, oh, you think you're bad. Look at us. But yeah, the Rockets, because of the way they play and their multiple ways, they have, like, a specific way they win. But it's also part of the multiple ways they can get it done. Like, they can have a hot shooting night and they'll win the game. That's rarer than we would probably like. They're not a great shooting team as far as from the perimeter. They win with offensive rebounds, forcing turnovers, and just bad shots and getting out and running. But when the game is a slog, they can go get wins that way. The only team to do it multiple times because of how they attack the boards. And that was part of the discussion, too, how they couldn't keep guys off the boards, and that's part of a bad team's problem in reference to the Suns. They cannot secure defensive rebounds after playing good on a defensive possession. So kind of the formula. It does make me question how much of that can be sustainable in the playoffs for the Rockets, but we'll see what happens when we get there. And they're battling for a favorable seed as we go down the home stretch. So another win for the Houston Rockets as they kind of smacked the Suns around to a point where you never felt like that game was in real danger. Okay, moving away from that. So if you are a content creator, Sean. Let's say this wasn't your line of profession. Like, okay. You want to still be in media.
I was going to say, we do create content.
Yes, you want to still be in media, but not necessarily coming in every day doing sports. Maybe you more wanted to be a Sam, per se, who is our social media person, who grabs clips, edits them, puts them up on social media, and highlights the best of us. Well, we give her stuff.
I would highlight the best.
Are you?
What Sam does
is what she does.
Who knows?
To be fair to her, we are giving her directions about what we think is the best thing to happen on the show. Throughout all our shows, do that, and it's up to her to kind of put it together.
No, she does that well. It's just the other stuff where.
Yeah,
no one told you to grab this. Why are you grabbing this?
Yeah, when she does that stuff, it's a little perturbing, I would say. Yes, you are right about that. I put the clip over there. I don't think you've listened to it. It's a blind audio clip, but it's over there. It's on the computer under Carson Beck's whatever. I forgot exactly what I labeled it. John Lance played a clip earlier about the San Francisco Wags, the wives of the San Francisco 49ers, having a little issue. Kyle Juszczyk, 49er legend, gets released after, I think, 9 years with the team, and it led to an apparent celebration by Fred Warner's wife for reasons. I don't know why. People are speculating, but people think that the wives didn't get along, and there's a clique over there, and the Warners aren't part of it, and so she celebrated one of the clique members getting told to beat it. Well, that is one way of doing it. The woman who did the sleuthing, I don't think she does this for a living. Now, the gentleman who did the sleuthing here, that's part of his job. He works for a site called, I think it's called Better, B-E-T-R, whatever. That's where I found it. So, Sean, you haven't heard the clip. I did all the cleanup. It's edited. Don't worry about it. I want you to listen to it and think, could this be my job? Could this be my life? This is about Carson Beck, the former Georgia quarterback, now Miami Hurricane quarterback, and the breakup with his girlfriend, one of the Cavender twins. Listen to this, and all of you can listen to it and go, how big would the bag have to be for this to be my life?
All right, so I'm almost positive that Carson Beck and Hannah Kavner are broken up because some dumb shit this dude did on Snapchat. Which, oh shocker, Carson Beck got in trouble for saying some stupid shit on Snapchat again. The first sign that pointed to them breaking up was looking at Hannah's Instagram, and there's absolutely nothing posted with him. Like, everything of him is erased. After just this weekend, they were posting with Carson Beck when they were on a little boyfriend-girlfriend trip in Nashville. Here's another post where Carson Beck's right there. And peep this when it was posted, by the way, 3 days ago. That would be Sunday. We got this DM saying that Carson Beck added this one girl on Snapchat on Sunday, looking at 9:34 p.m. So just after they were posting all this shit on Sunday in Nashville together. And as soon as he adds that one girl on Snapchat, he sends her this. While him and Hannah are like very much together on a trip together, girl asks like, oh, like, don't you have a girlfriend? Did y'all break up? He goes, literally this past weekend, LOL. Boldface ass lie. And then here's another Snapchat that he sent her saying things just not working out. He could see it coming. This looks like a really brand new hat, right? Real new, real nice. The same exact one he was wearing on that trip in Nashville. So I'm gonna be so real, like, this dude 1000% sent this while he was on a trip and he had a little away time. Hannah doesn't even follow this dude anymore, so you already know they broke up. And like I said, from this really trusty source, it was because he said some dumb f***ing shit on Snapchat. Just delete the f***ing app, Carson. It's not that hard.
If this is what you had to put together, Sean mimicked putting a bullet in his brain.
I mean, come on.
I don't know if he was directed to do that or he decided, I want to do this. But if that was my life, like, we talk about dumb stuff here all the time. But if I had to do internet detective stuff on the goings on of a college quarterback and the girl he broke up with, because who would have suspected that a college quarterback may not be loyal? And that's what you have to put together. I'm out.
Or no. Just like a 22-year-old.
Yeah, any kid.
College person. I mean, just the phrase, like, my trusty source. And you're talking about Snapchat DMs.
I'm like, oh, man.
Again.
How big would, like, the bag? You can find a big enough bag. But I will say this. For what?
Triple what I make. Like, it would just be, like, so, like, it's definitely more than what this guy makes.
Yes.
To. Also, I wouldn't have as big of a potty mouth as this guy.
No, you can't get through a minute 15 without me having to beep you like 5 times?
Yeah, like, come on. Dude, not that important.
No, yes. I don't know what that gentleman's making. I know what I make here. You say triple. pretty probably about triple.
For me to say yes.
To do that.
Yes.
To do that job.
Which is more than what
so
he
maybe
makes.
Should I be applauding him for doing that job? No? Okay.
No. Why would you applaud this?
For having
the what service is he doing
for
to?
Having the Constitution to actually put something like that together?
No. 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 He wants to. Listen to him.
He did seem very into it. I can't do it, man. There are just some there's a level to things where I won't reach, and that's one of them. Like, you want me to break down Spencer Arrighetti's new secret pitch? We can talk about how silly it was for him to pretend like this was something we've never seen before. We'll get to that. Okay, at least it's sports related and actual baseball stuff. That
it's like I can just read an article or listen to him talk about it. I don't need to look at people's Instagram posts and see what hat he's wearing to see. Oh, same hat. Get out of here.
So
I don't want a job where I have to know which Cavender twin
I don't is. By the way, I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, I don't. He said it several times. I don't want to like have my job depend on me knowing which one is.
And if I get it wrong, having the internet call me out on it and have
to say like
myself.
I don't know ball.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know which one of these random blondes.
So,
who? One of them is kind of good at college basketball. The other one isn't.
They were both good at Fresno State, and then when there was a jump in competition, one of them kept being good, and the other one was like, whatever, not great.
You know what? Snapchat's pretty good too.
Yeah. Okay, man. Credit to you. If you can get it back that way, so be it.
He's not getting a. He's getting a salary. He's not. I wouldn't say he's getting a bag. I doubt he's getting a bag. If he's getting a bag,
maybe,
then I...
Unless he... Maybe he's the owner of the site. Feels unlikely, though. Feels like all those...
Yeah, why would you do this? If you're surely there's a more important thing for you to be doing if you own...
I don't know. I've seen Dave Portnoy and what he's up to, so he's the owner of that thing. He does things you would say, why would you do that? So who knows? Okay, we'll come back with what the Spencer Arrighetti thing. We'll also talk about Cam Smith in the lineup. The Astros lineup is out, and guess where Altuve and Cam Smith are. Doesn't take much. We talked about it quite a bit yesterday. So we got a new look at our outfield. Brian McTaggart always tweets it 4 hours before the games are played, or maybe more than that. But we do know that Altuve and Cam Smith will both be in the outfield. And we'll talk about Spencer Arrighetti in our camp update when we come back. If you want to get in on the show, you can 713-780-3776. For the first time really all week, there's not a lot of Texan stuff unless you care about them signing maybe the fifth defensive end in their rotation who was a Bill. But other than that, pretty quiet. It feels like when you don't have salary cap space, you're always looking for a bargain, and that's where the Texans are right now. Maybe the more consequential things going forward are a potential contract for a guy who's already on the roster as opposed to giving one. An extension in Derek Stingley's case as opposed to somebody new coming in. We may be looking at our next impact player coming from the draft as opposed to a free agent. So we'll see. But we'll get going here. We'll be back.
But first, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. They have all the basketball action during the month of March, whether it's the NBA, whether it's college. They have you covered. If you want more than that, they have NHL, they have golf, they have tennis, they have soccer, they have whatever you want. You can mix and match and make your lineups accordingly and make some money. Today, this afternoon, not tonight, this afternoon at 2 o'clock, 2:30, but 2 o'clock for me because that's when the show ends for coverage of this game. Texas A&M. Basketball, Wade Taylor, the fourth all-time leading scorer in Aggies basketball history. I say he scores at least 16 more points. Give me more on 15.5 for Wade Taylor against the Texas Longhorns. Give me Arthur Kaluma for Texas to score more than 10.5 points. One of the few players that I actually enjoy watching on this Longhorns team. And on the other side of the thing, other side of the spectrum. The guy that I hate watching the most, Caden Cedric, 12.5 points, rebounds, assists. Give me the less. I hope this is the last game he ever plays in a Longhorn uniform. You can follow my picks on ESPN 90 on Prize Picks. Dale did not like that. You can follow my picks on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Pick app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on PrizePicks to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. PrizePicks, run your game.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Astros play today, which means we get a chance to see the outfield. I like to call them a duo because I don't care who's in center right now. Doesn't matter, really. The outfield duo of Cam Smith and Jose Altuve. And since we're talking Astros, time for our camp update. And it's Sean's choice of music all the time. We switched it up a little bit yesterday with This Week in Baseball. Sean, what's the choice today?
I think we're going to go back to
a tried and true one.
Tried and true. Give me some. And we are talking about, well, not center field. We are talking about outfielders.
Outfield, yes.
Wow, I skipped this ad on YouTube.
Would a song from the band The Outfield fit? It wouldn't be a baseball song, but they are called The Outfield. We might consider that,
hey,
depending on the song.
Hey, listen, there's what? Two more weeks
we got
of
plenty,
training?
We got plenty of days to find music. Don't you worry. Christian Walker's back hitting. He's in the batting cages today. He hadn't swung a bat since the oblique issue, so he's back at it. It was a scare, but seems like we're good here. So he's back to more baseball activities. Yiner Diaz, not so much. He has been ill and played the last couple of days, so we hope Yiner gets back healthy. As well, as I mentioned, Cam Smith, Jose Altuve are in your lineup today, both playing outfield positions, the corner outfield spots, as baseball people would say. Also, Spencer Arrighetti, he has revealed his secret pitch he's been working on. The one when the foul territory guys came down to check out the Astros, he was talking to AJ Pierzynski, and he wouldn't reveal what the pitch was. Turns out, it's a plain old sinker. That's the pitch he wouldn't dare tell anyone he was working on. But if you see Spencer Arrighetti breaking out that sinker, and you hadn't been paying attention to spring training so far, he's been working on it. We'll see how effective it is in the regular season. So your boy's at work. He is probably, at this point, your locked-in fourth starter. I don't know where he will reside in the rotation when Lance McCullers, who was throwing 94 yesterday, is back. And, of course, we've heard less about Luis Garcia. He appears to be further away. I haven't heard anything really about him and where he is.
No, he does seem to be behind, because he had a re-aggravation, I believe, last season. So makes sense that he's a little bit late. But, yeah, I think Arrighetti is in that 3-4 kind of range for the Astros to start the season. And I think versus, like, Ronel Blanco, I think I'm more confident in Arrighetti retaining his form or maybe even getting a little bit more consistent with it, because he was more inconsistent than anything, which is to be understood. It was his first year as a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, where he had good games and then he also had bad games. His ERA ended up being 4 or 5 range. So it's like, okay, I get how this happened. Now, if we could just get 4 ERA, but in a normal distribution.
Much like the Jalen Green conversation.
Yeah, it's like, okay, just don't immediately end the game that you start once a month.
If your tagline is averages 5 2/3, you give up 4 runs a game, that's fine. I just don't need it to be 7 in the first 2 innings, and we can just pack this game up because no one's going to win it.
Yeah,
I mean, the Astros aren't going to win it.
Exactly. So I think that Arrighetti has a chance, honestly, to earn a spot to lock himself into the rotation, even when all the guys get healthy. He has a chance to kind of take that step forward with this never-before-seen pitch. Do you think guys were in the batter's box now, what the hell was that?
No, I don't think
so. Oh, okay. You think the pitch that, like, 65% of Major League pitchers throw
I don't think it's been a spring revelation, and everyone can't believe that he broke this out. Now,
Espada, that can't be legal. That's not legal what he did.
Yeah, Astros, known to be to work beyond the lines, are now bringing in a sinker because they can't stop cheating.
Ball can't move like that.
No, I don't think so. He is trying to implement that pitch in response to his four-seamer not being very effective. So he's trying to bring the sinker in. You can read the story from Chandler Rome about why he's kind of trying to incorporate that pitch, but the four-seamer got knocked around, so he's trying to use a sinker as an offset. So
worked for Hunter Brown last year.
It's true. Hunter Brown didn't throw a sinker, and he was terrible early. He throws a sinker, and he has a really good year. Now he's locked in. Talk about guys and where they're locked in at. He's your number two. And frankly, considering how they treat their somewhat older players when it's time to pay them, he's likely going to be your number one in 2026, unless the Astros, because I don't think Fromber is a lock. In fact, I think it's
the favorite is probably him leaving. The other way.
Yeah, he's probably a favorite to leave.
Yeah.
So Hunter Brown, unless we get a big year from Lance McCullers and he stays healthy, I know a lot of variables that you can't count on. Hunter Brown's probably your number one in 2026, and that sinker may be a huge part of it because we were like, "Oof, okay, man, were they right about you as far as a prospect?" And then he incorporates that, and then we get the year that Hunter Brown produced last year. So there is young talent on the roster, and Ronel Blanco's not young; he's just new to us for the most part. We will see if he can have the same type of year that he had, particularly early in the year. And then the Lance McCullers, Luis Garcia, Christian Javier stuff, we'll figure out as we go along. Okay, that's our camp update with the Astros. Like the song? Probably, because you know it's actually a real song made by a real artist as opposed to just some instrumental for a TV show.
Yeah.
Favorite song so far? As far as our camp stuff.
Yeah, I would say that.
Have we made it? Have we kind of made the decision we're going to steer clear of like the traditional baseball songs we hear in like the ballparks, like "Take Me Out to the Ball"? And
I'm not playing "Take Me Out to the Ball."
Thank you, I appreciate it. You know what counts as baseball music, at least for this show, is walk up music, and closer music. So if you want to play, no, but not Ryan Presley's. Because that was ridiculous. We talked about that last year. Yeah. We talked about that already. That was ridiculous. But if the hater music strikes you, so be it. It's up to you. Or you want to play what's the Mets closer's name?
Oh, Edwin Diaz.
You want to play Edwin Diaz music?
Timmy Trumpet.
I welcome that too. But yeah. I'm not directing you to. I'm just saying the field has been broadened as far as music you can choose. Because
I'd have to look. Maybe if we get a day where they, and I guess that's like the day before the season that they would do that. Announce what walk-up the songs are going to be.
Yeah.
Normally you get those. I mean, I know college teams, they'll always post those. I don't know if MLB teams have that much fun.
Do you think
what walk-up songs
do we? Do you think an Astro has a Kendrick song from the Beef as their walk-up song? No. They're probably all Drake guys anyway.
I just doubt that they're like, that Jake Myers is like, you know what? They're right. They're not like us.
Well, not Drake Myers. Well, why not Drake Myers, I guess? But we probably would get it from a guy who isn't an everyday guy. Like, randomly, it's his day to play. I just have to think of, like, would
Zach DeZinzo?
Maybe. A younger... Would Brendan Rodgers have a Kendrick song as his walk-up song? Unlikely. We will see. I think the song... still certainly has a shelf life that has gone beyond what we thought it would. So maybe we will find an Astro who thinks it's actually, what are you saying? That's perfect. Not like us for the Astros. They're the kind of the excluded black sheep of baseball. Someone might adapt it. We'll see. Or maybe they're all Drake stans and they would never. Family Matters might be someone's song. We will see. All right. We're done with our camp update. Perfect timing. We'll get to a break here. We will, we'll play that sound from Baron Browning. I think it's the quote of the free agency period so far. And particularly because he's talking about the Cardinals, which makes it even funnier for me. We will get to that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I don't know if these will be what we hear in 2025, particularly if you're out at the ballpark, but at least as recently as 2024, here are some of the songs for your Astros. If you went out there and watched them, you know. New Astro, though, Christian Walker. His walk-up music is Doo-Wop, That Thing by Miss Lauryn Hill. Who else is out there? Jeremy Pena had Turn My Swag On by Soulja Boy. So, I don't... And, by the way, Jake Myers, as you mentioned, In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins. So, no, unlikely Kendrick Lamar would be his choice of songs.
Yeah, I think there's a chance. It's just hard to pinpoint who.
Yeah, I don't know. You mentioned one of the new guys. I don't know.
Just because we don't know.
I don't know who Isak Paredes will have as his walk-up music when he's up there. Maybe Cam Smith, if he makes the roster, we will have.
Yeah. Cam Smith is doing Leandro Ball.
I don't think so.
I
don't think he
22.
Wants that. Yeah.
No, he's not 22. No, he graduated college.
He was a college kid. I don't see Tweaker being a Cam Smith song. We'll see.
Oh, he is 22.
Oh, so.
Wow.
Did he leave after 3 years?
He must have.
Florida State?
He must
have. Yeah. Okay. There that is. So he is in the range. So maybe you got a lead on what Cam Smith is going to have for his music. He'll continue to try to make his case today as the Astros get going. He'll play right field for the first time in an actual game. He has done some backfield stuff for the Astros. Him and Altuve will be out in the outfield today. Okay. So Baron Browning is a edge rusher for the Arizona Cardinals, excuse me. He was with the Denver Broncos, I believe, before that. He played for Ohio State, so big pedigree. He decided to re-sign with the Cardinals. He's happy to be there. And he offers some sage advice. I'm not sure it should apply to the Cardinals, but here's Baron Browning on why he decided to return.
I mean, if you got a girlfriend who's a 10, why play around?
That's right. Take that advice, gentlemen. If your girl's a 10, maybe he's talking directly to Carson Beck.
But if
your girlfriend's a 10, why play around? The question for me is, are the Cardinals the 10? Are we sure about that? It's a great line to get people laughing. I cut off the media laugh, but it came. Don't worry about it.
I mean,
the Cardinals are in.
They have a great personality.
That doesn't mean a 10, though.
Once you get to know the Cardinals.
You don't lead with great personality. You led with great personality.
Well, Kyler.
What does that mean? They're exciting with the great personality?
Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yeah, but the Cardinals as a whole. I'm not talking about their past. I'm just talking about their current situation. What are they? They're funny?
They are funny.
They're funny.
Jonathan Gannon shots. Pew, pew, pew. That's funny.
They'll make you laugh. They're easy to talk to.
They are easy to talk to.
They're non-offensive, so you don't have to worry about that. You can bring them home and not worry about them clashing with family members. They go along to get along. I'm not sure they're 10, though. Not in NFL parlances.
How many wins do they have? Are they higher or lower than their wins from last year?
Is that a Prize Picks thing you can do? Are the Cardinals a 7 on Prize Picks? But Baron Browning, back with the Cardinals. I hope everybody feels that way about their team they re-signed with.
Are they an 8?
No.
Oh, they won 8 games. They're 8-9.
8 would suggest you're average in the NFL world. So you're more like a 5 if you're an 8. With the good personality, maybe you're 6 or a 7. The Cardinals are on a upward trajectory.
Yeah, they're young.
So maybe one more makeover. Take the glasses off, and look, the Cardinals are hot.
Okay, so they are all that.
Yes, the Cardinals are all that. I don't know who their Freddie Prinze is going to be, but they need to find
Brandon Brown.
No, he's already on the team. No, you need someone from the outside to turn them into what Rachel Lee Cook turned into. The 90s really got stuff like that off. Like, am I supposed to believe this woman's unattractive?
Yeah.
Or she's too nerdy because she's into the arts.
Yeah, she has glasses on.
I know.
And a sweater.
Yes. She doesn't wear a dress. I can't tell that she's supremely attractive. Oh, she put the dress on. She took the glasses off. It's like Superman.
Yeah, that basically was a genre of like teen movies.
Yeah.
Was you have to assume that the Clark Kent Superman logic applies to the most attractive and famous young women in Hollywood playing high school students.
Yeah, you give them bad bangs, stringy hair.
Yeah, they just don't brush their hair.
Yeah, just run them out there on set. Go look. People will be fooled.
Ugh.
Rachel Lee Cook as a 20-something. Ugh. I'm trying to think of the comparison today because they don't really do that anymore
because
you can't get that off anymore. No one buys it. But if you try to, if you wanted to do a throwback, who would be the person that they would use at this point? I mean, Sydney Sweeney's too old. I know that's the
But I think back then, like being 25 didn't disqualify you from playing in high school.
That's part of the 90s too. Like 90210 will tell you.
Yeah, you could be 20. I could have played a high schooler my age.
You could be on Stranger Things right now.
I mean, yeah.
Well,
I'm
younger
than half the
sticking
kids
with. On. I guess if you decided Millie Bobby Brown, we're going to put her in one of those roles. Hey, just put some glasses on her, and let everyone believe that that woman now she's not attractive. Hey, she's going to take the glasses off and be. I don't want to say hot because she's like 20 something, but whatever. Shout out to the '90s. So it was a good time, and even late '90s into the 2000s. I wouldn't say it's an era there we're ever going to go back to. But I like their willingness to try to do stuff like that over and over again, by the way. So much so that the parodies began shortly after.
It was so wild because the parodies would happen like towards the tail end of that run, but not after the run was over. Like people would parody it, and then they would still make those movies like earnestly for a couple more years.
Yeah, like we're gonna ignore that everyone is in on the joke.
Everyone thinks this is ridiculous. Yeah. What we're doing.
Yeah, because we want to keep making these movies because people seem to want to watch them. So there it is.
Hey, something's got to be in the $2 DVD bin at Walmart. All right, so why not this Freddie Prinze vehicle?
That was kind of his bag for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And now
like the high level stuff was the live action Scooby Doo. That was the hits.
I love Scrappy Doo and Scooby Doo too. When he turned into an evil giant puppy dog. And credit to Freddie Prinze, one of those Hollywood success stories. Married Sarah Michelle Gellar, still with her. Don't see that every day. That guy's like, just leave me alone. I'm married to Buffy. Just leave me alone. I don't want to get in any trouble. I don't want to have any controversy. I'm married to Buffy.
Looking it up, I'm sure he has a podcast that does crazy numbers. Or doesn't do crazy numbers. He gets paid handsomely to do.
What does he do now?
He has to have a podcast. I guarantee you he has a podcast.
He wasn't in any like TV show that gets like a reboot and everyone's like, hey, or not a reboot, but like it winds up on Netflix and everyone's watching it. So he does a podcast going episode by episode. By episode, so he doesn't have that, but he does host two podcasts. You're right.
Yes, that was pretty scary. A horror movie podcast
and Wrestling with Freddy. He has a wrestling podcast.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you bank on that name, you use it, and you get your stuff off. You do a couple podcasts. I'm sure Audible sponsoring one of them.
Tell me about MeUndies.
Yeah, Uber Eats. I'm sure is in on them.
Yeah.
You keep cashing them checks, Freddie Prinze Jr.
Promo code. Prince on Prize Picks to get $50.
And remember, it's Prince with a Z.
Yeah, he would have to spell it out.
He would have to tell people it's Prince with a Z. All right, we're done with hour one. We will, we talked a little about college basketball in the way that we would Sean's preference to watch his team lose or win and what it means for his work day. But you guys know it's Bracket Madness time. I'll give you the details on that and give you an opportunity to beat us starting right after the brackets drop on Sunday. We'll come back with that and more in hour two. We'll be back.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.